Welcome to Soundbites on Domrava. I'm your host, Mark Steiner. In the past year, we've brought you stories about the land, the farms, and the people of Domrava. Throughout the year, it became clear to us that our listeners want to see the rural character of Domrava survive. So we began to look deeper into certain questions. What will it take to keep farmers on their land? Is it possible to tend to the health of the environment and also to the needs of the people of our state and our nation? We will explore how farms, both urban and rural, can feed and employ our people, how we can get fresh produce to our citizens, how we can take care of the environment, and how we can create a 21st century food system that is more just and healthier for each of us and our world. We believe it can be done. Please join us as we explore how we can get there together. This week on the show, we'll be speaking with participants of the lawsuit brought by Assateague Coastal Trust and the Waterkeeper Alliance against Purdue Farms and the Hudson Farm. The suit alleges that pollutants and runoff from the Hudson Farm violated the Clean Water Act. It has embroiled environmentalists, politicians, and farmers across Maryland in a fight over the relationship of big poultry companies to their contract growers in the place of farming in the fight for a cleaner bay. We're bringing you rare interviews with Alan Hudson, one of the plaintiffs in the suit, and Assateague Coast Keeper Kathy Phillips, who found the pollutants in the water coming from the Hudson Farm. We'll also hear from the Purdue Company. Up first, here's a conversation we taped with attorneys Scott Edwards and Michelle Merkel from the consumer advocacy nonprofit Food and Water Watch. At the time the case was filed, they were the attorneys for the Waterkeeper Alliance. I asked Scott about the allegation that the lawsuit was unfounded because what was originally thought to be a pile of chicken manure on the Hudson Farm was actually biosolids from Ocean City.
You know, you'll often find this when you go after a polluter, once you find pollution coming off a site, is they try to point to anything but themselves as being the source of the pollution. And, you know, the irony of this is if you look on Purdue's Save Family Farms website, they have statements made by the Maryland Department of Agriculture and the Maryland Department of Environment that they tested this pile. They found it to be biosolids.
Right.
And that pile, since it's treated biosolids, could not account for the levels of pollutants found in the ditches on the farm. These are statements by the agencies that they rely on themselves to say, oh, we they didn't do anything about this farm. They didn't come after us, so we don't have a valid case because MDE didn't sue us. And if this case were valid, then MDE would have done something about it. So the very agencies that they point to in support of their claim that they didn't do anything wrong say that the biosolids couldn't have caused those levels of pollutants that they admit are coming off of those ditches or coming out of those ditches and are found both by MDE and by the waterkeeper in their samples. We know that from MDE sampling pattern that pollutant loads in ditches that ran past that pile of whatever it was, and we'll never know what it was. They claim that it was pure biosolids. We won't know. It was moved. It was never tested, as MDE claims. I mean, they had to retract
that. MDE statement claims that it was tested, but it was not tested.
Right.
They retracted
their claim that it had been tested. We don't know what that pile was. What we do know is from MDE's own series of sampling, and MDE was able to do sampling that we weren't because they had access to the farm. If you recall that when we sent that notice letter, MDE attempted several times to go out and test on the farm, and they were refused access. And it took about three or four attempts and finally a letter threatening legal action before they were allowed to get on that farm to test. And when they did get on that farm to test those ditches, they tested several ditches that we didn't have access to. We don't trespass. We don't go onto farms and take water samples. We're not allowed to do that. The pollutant levels in the ditch that was closest to the alleged biosolids pile were much, much, much lower than the pollutant levels in the ditches next to the poultry houses. If you look at Purdue's own lawyers' legal filings in this case, their own lawyers discount contributions from that pile in the legal filings.
It doesn't matter where the source of pollution is on the farm. This is about pollution coming from this farm, and our own samples showed elevated levels of pollutants like E. coli and fecal coliform, in some cases that were several hundred times above the levels that MDE sets to protect public health and the environment. And the court agreed with us that we had sufficient evidence to proceed with our case and, in fact, denied Purdue's motion to dismiss and Hudson's motion to dismiss the case.
Now, we understand that it's an open ditch, and we understand that these are the types of pollutants that can come from a lot of different sources. Wildlife can contribute. Cows can contribute. Chickens can contribute. Biosolids could contribute somewhat. What we also know, though, from the MDE sampling, from our own experts, from our review of all the materials, from the studies, from reviews of records of visits by MDE through Purdue's own flock supervisor reports, we know that the poultry houses contributed to the pollutants in that ditch. It's no defense to the Clean Water Act to say that there were also other sources of pollution, and therefore we shouldn't be accountable for what we've contributed. It is illegal under the Clean Water Act to discharge any pollutant into waters of the U.S. unless you do it in accordance with a permit. Alan Hudson didn't have a permit. We don't have to prove that all of those pollutants came from those poultry houses. We have to prove that some of those pollutants come from that chicken operation and from that farm.
Let me just read you something from a conversation we had with folks at Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
They said, if a 2-chicken house, 45 cow, 200-acre farm is a factory farm, mm-hmm. then there are a lot of farms in the United States that are at risk for this type of lawsuit.
Yes. CAFOs are point sources under the Clean Water Act. That's what the law defines.
But you're only
there.
At a risk for a lawsuit if you pollute.
If you pollute.
If you're not managing your farm responsibly, then you're at risk of a lawsuit. If you're a farmer and manage your waste so that it's not pouring into waterways, then you're not at risk. I mean, that's true of any regulated entity, right? I mean, if you're a CAFO, if you're defined as a CAFO and you're an industrial operation under the law, you have to comply with the law, just like a wastewater treatment plant, just like a power plant, just like a, you know, any facility that might be permitted under the law.
What they're saying is they don't like the law. What they're saying is the law that makes Alan Hudson a CAFO and therefore subject to the Clean Water Act and point source restrictions, they don't like it. These are huge sources of pollution. And they like to point to the fact that, well, this is, as you say, this is 40 cows and a couple of poultry houses, and we shouldn't be held accountable for our pollution because we're just this small family operation. No, you are part of a system under Purdue, and multiply your farm times 1,000 in the Chesapeake watershed, and now you know why the bay is dying the death of 1,000 cuts. And if you're not liable for your pollution, if you're going to argue that we're de minimis or somehow small operators and just polluting a little bit, and therefore we shouldn't be accountable, then you might as well run the white flag up on the future of the bay. It's a dead bay at that point.
MDE did inspection sweeps to look at nutrient management plant compliance, and even their own numbers show that nearly 30% of the farmers aren't in compliance with their plans.
Are not.
This is MDA's own statistics. So 30% of the farming community is not one or two bad actors, and that's MDA's own statistics. So again, it's not, you know, I often hear, well, farmers as a whole are doing more than anybody else. It's only one or two bad actors, and their statistics show otherwise.
So one of the arguments that people use in opposing the case that was brought are Alan and Kristen Hudson,
right,
as small farmers,
right,
who could lose everything they have because a lawsuit was brought against them.
No, they've had a very successful propaganda campaign about, and they've messaged this well. It is, the Kennedys and the skiing celebrities versus the small family farm. It's just as easy to paint this picture as the Assateague Coast Keeper, who really began this case and really is still the driving force in this case. The Assateague Coast Keeper, who's a small, local, nonprofit, mostly a one-woman shop, Kathy Phillips, versus a $4.6 billion industrial ag company named Purdue. The real folks who are victimizing Alan Hudson is Purdue. If they really cared about Alan Hudson, they would have come to us after that notice letter was filed, and they would have said, we understand we're having a problem with one of our contract growers. We want to come into this farm. We want to clean it up. We want to make sure we're not polluting anymore. None of our contract growers are polluting. But they didn't. They started telling their stories. They started pointing to biosolids. They were blocking access to the farm. They never reached out to us at all. You know, one of the stories they like to tell is we sued these folks without ever trying to talk to them. And if we had just went and had a dialogue with them. Well, we did have a dialogue with them. In what the work we do, the dialogue begins with a letter. We write these folks a letter. That's what a notice letter is.
No one has the right to just walk into court and sue somebody tomorrow. You have to provide an opportunity for that person
to respond
in order to correct the problem. And so Waterkeeper Alliance filed its notice letter. They're required to give the Hudson 60 days. They gave them 72, and neither Purdue nor the Hudsons ever contacted them about their notice letter.
For the supporters of the Hudson to say that if we had knocked on the door, we would have gotten a better reception than we did when we sent a letter, I have no reason to believe that that's the case. I think the reaction would have been the same if I had walked up to the Hudson's front door and knocked on it, or perhaps worse. I didn't have an invitation to go on Alan Hudson's farm. And what that reaction would have been, I don't know what that reaction would have been. If they're saying that if we had knocked on the door, they would have taken care of the problem, then I'm not quite sure why they didn't take care of the problem when they got a letter in the mail. That was the knock on the door. We just sent it through the mail. This case is not about Alan Hudson. This case involves Alan Hudson because Alan Hudson cooperates a farm with Purdue that is polluting the waters of the state and of the United States and polluting the Chesapeake Bay. He doesn't have a right to do that. I don't care how long Alan Hudson's farm has been in the family's name or how small of an operator he is, or that's not an issue in this case. The issue is he's polluting waterways, and he should not be doing that. Now, Alan Hudson's doing it, again, in partnership with Purdue, but Purdue should be stepping up and taking... If they really wanted to protect Alan Hudson, they could do it in a heartbeat. They should be cleaning up that farm. They should be stopping that pollution. They're not doing it.
Doesn't that, though, in some senses go to the heart of the matter of why they wouldn't do that? It's because the lawsuit, in effect, is really about showing that Purdue as a company has responsibility for the runoff from the farm. So if they, in fact, publicly defended the Hudsons, they would be admitting to that fact.
Well, that might be their perception. But if they were to come to us and say, we understand you've gone after a contract farmer and named us in this loss, named us in the notice letter that you think this is our farm. We want to help clean up that farm, but we're going to do so in a way in which we are not admitting any responsibility for operating or owning this farm. They could have done that. They could have stepped in and said, we're the contract grower. If their fear is that we would have ignored them and used that against them to show that they actually own this farm, I don't think that's a very valid concern. They've shown that they own and operate this farm in so many more ways than what an offer to help clean up this mess would have meant. Before we sued them, they entered into an agreement with the Environmental Protection Agency, this memorandum, in which they took responsibility for the environmental performance of their contract growers. They go out and do environmental training for their contract growers. They teach them about best management practices. They're already very much tied into the environmental performance of these farms. Coming to us and saying that they want to help clean up problem on one of their contract growers' farms would not have hurt them at all.
But at the heart of the suit, is if Purdue is found culpable or responsible, then that means that it's no longer just a gross responsibility. It becomes clear that Purdue and then any large company in the country will also be liable and responsible for what happens on the land of the farmers that rent their animals from them.
Well, what we want to see is that the big companies who operate these facilities or co-operate these facilities along with their contract growers are liable under the Clean Water Act for pollution.
Not just the farmer.
Not just the farmer. Purdue operates the Hudson Farm. There's no question about that. They walk in and they operate that farm. All we're saying is that companies like Purdue should be held accountable, just like every other industry in this country is held accountable for pollution coming from the facilities that they operate. That's what the Clean Water Act says. That's why our waterways got cleaned up, because owners and operators of point sources were told to clean up their mess. They were told to get permits. They were told to control their runoff. They were told to stop dumping pollutants into our waterways. We're not looking for a special rule. It's Purdue that's looking for the rule, the special treatment here. What Purdue wants is they want us to say, and they want everybody to say, yes, we have this $4.6 billion industry. We have all these contract growers. We send our flock supervisors out to these farms. We reap all the financial benefits. We own these chickens. We own the feed. We walk into these facilities. We adjust our temperatures. We adjust the feeder lines. We adjust the exhaust fans. We make sure our birds are being managed properly, and we're going in there and directly, hands-on, actually operating these flocks. But we want what every other industry doesn't have. We want to be able to walk away from any environmental liability. We don't want to clean up our waste stream. We don't want to do what paper mills have to do and power plants have to do and other manufacturing processes have to do. We want to be able to have an industry. Purdue wants to be able to have an industry in which, according to them, there's zero waste stream from their $4.6 billion production system. Zero waste stream for Purdue. The waste stream belongs, according to them, to their contract growers. That's who has the burden of the waste stream in Purdue's manufacturing empire. And that's fundamentally unfair. We're not looking for special rules. We're looking for the law of the land to be applied to an industry just like any other industry.
Where do you want to see this end? How would it end in the way you would like, that would be a positive way for you all in terms of why you brought the suit?
Our goal is to create a precedent in which these big companies, the Purdue's and the Tyson's, are treated like every other industry in this country and are held responsible for the waste from their production systems. It's as simple as that. It's clean up after yourself. That's our goal, to get these companies to take on what they should be voluntarily taking on, which is responsibility for the waste stream from their chicken production.
Which then would help to level the playing field for these contract growers. If people really care about the Hudsons, the contract growers, who are really the victims of this industrial agriculture system that we now have in place, they should support this lawsuit because, as Scott said, if Waterkeeper wins, they will establish this precedent that Purdue can no longer use Allen Hudson as a human shield to avoid responsibility for its waste. They're going to have to spend some of their $4.6 billion to make sure that it's managed properly, and the Allen Hudsons of the world who, aren't reaping the benefits of this operation will get some help and support. They're not going to have to bear the burden of managing this waste by themselves.
That was Michelle Markle and Scott Edwards, attorneys for Food and Water Watch. And up next, here's an interview we recorded with Allen Hudson in June of last year.
Let me just give you a little history on the farm. I'm fourth generation farmer there. My great-grandfather, my father's still working with me. Yet we're not a big farm by any means. We till about 300 acres. We have cows, corn, beans. We do quite a bit of hay. Chickens are a part of the farm. It's a small part of the farm, but you just do it. You diversify. You have to do everything to make ends meet. And that's just like everybody else. Every other farmer, you diversify what to do. I drive a school bus, too, to help make ends meet. I'm not just mass-producing poultry. That's what I'm not the factory farm, what everybody keeps calling me. We are a family farm, and that, well, that really hurts worse than anything to being called a factory farm, because we're a family farm. And that's the way every farm, not every farm, but majority of farms around here are family farms, and that's what we are.
What happened? I mean, from your perspective, it was like the lawsuit against Purdue and your farm being one of the, your grazed chickens from Purdue. Yes. They said you were dumping chicken waste manure directly into the river or into the waterway.
We were piling chicken manure outside. That's what the accusation was. It wasn't chicken manure. It was regulated biosolid from the town of Ocean City. It had been pasteurized, treated, everything was like it was supposed to be. It was and once it got found out that it was not poultry manure, it should have been gone away with, done away with. But for some reason, they still want to go after Purdue and me, and it's just snowballed into something that's out of control, in my opinion. I mean, if they've seen something wrong, first of all, they should go come and talk to me. I'll talk to anybody. I mean, I don't mind talking to you, and I could have explained it or tried to explain it. Maybe I couldn't have explained it, but I could have tried, and well, saved a lot of money for me and everybody in the state of Maryland, because they're the ones footing the bill to sue me.
But you're footing the bill to defend yourself.
I am. So I'm footing the bill to defend myself and prosecute myself, I guess, because I'm still paying taxes.
But so I don't understand why, not that, in light of the situation, how come Purdue is not paying to defend you?
Purdue's paying to defend their own self, not me. I mean, I guess we're, I don't know what you call the correct word, but the lawsuit is Alan and Kristen Hudson and Purdue Farms. So I guess they're taking care of their part, and I'm taking care of my part. I've had quite a bit of support from the agriculture community, some fundraisers through Wicomico Young Farmers, and quite a few donations. They have helped, but the bills keep mounting. I mean, it's just getting... It's unbelievable how high they really can go.
What has your life been like since this?
Not been much fun. Before this, I'd never been to a doctor in my life. And before this, I've had all kinds of tests. Well, you sit up and worry. I don't want to be the one to lose my farm. It's been there 100 years. I don't want to be the one responsible. And once it goes through me, I don't want to be them to come back and knock on James's door or Lee's door. It should have never got this far if they would have just come and talked to us. But I don't know if they wouldn't. They want the publicity. They want all the, I guess the best way to put this, the other year down here we had a little girl get killed before Christmas, right when all this same stuff went on. My name was in the paper more than that little girl got killed the whole winter long. My name was in there worse than that. I was a worse person than the guy that killed and did all that stuff to that little girl. And it's just fueling the fire is all they do. They just keep stuff... Just keep it stirred. Then airplanes circling. You feel like you just feel your privacy. Yeah, like you're a criminal. Your privacy is invaded. You go somewhere, you feel like everybody's, like you're looking over your shoulder all the time. Like you don't know who's watching you, what you're doing. You're second guessing everything you do. And everybody's trying to do the best they can with what they have to make a living. That's all we want. I want to make a living, have a good place to raise my children, and... Before this, I wanted my little boy to take over farming after me. Now, this keeps on, I don't think I'm going to encourage him to keep farming. And I hate to say that, because the young farmers, there's none left. The average age for a farmer is, what, 65, 70? And at least in the early 60s. Mm-hmm. And there's no young people coming back in. And the world's population is getting bigger. Where are you going to go get your food? It doesn't just miraculously appear on that grocery store shelf. You've got to get it from somewhere. And the American farmer is good enough to 2% of the population feeds the world. It's about what we really do. And I don't know. The American farmer is not the bad guy that we've been made out to be.
So what's the argument they're making now if this is in fact sludge from that is from the Ocean City that they said was your manure falling into the waterway? What's the argument that they're still pursuing?
There is something from my farm somewhere. It's still coming out of my poultry house somehow, getting into the ditch, and that is what it is. But the ditch they took the samples from, I've got 45 brood cows with calves. They're fenced off of the ditch. But when it rains, cows go to the bathroom in the pasture. water runs on that manure. That manure, what do you do about that? And it's just, we had MDE was up there, everybody, and it was not, it was indecisive that it come from the pile. It could have been other farm factors, wildlife. It could be anything in that ditch. I mean, granted, there was, they had some high levels, but it's not conclusive where exactly it come from. And I just, they keep grasping at straws. They're after Purdue. They want Purdue. If it was chicken manure, it still shouldn't have been Purdue. It should have been my problem, me alone. And I told Purdue that from the get-go, and they shouldn't be involved at all. If they want to involve somebody, nobody should be involved to begin with, because MDE, we've done everything we're supposed to do with them. We're free and clear. And I did everything was asked of me and what we were supposed to do. Moved everything, did what needed to be done, and all that's done, settled. And why haven't they ever said anything about Ocean City? I don't know. I just, Ocean City's tax dollars. They get there, they get tourists. They don't want any bad publicity. Farming, they like to pick on the farmer. They like to pick on Purdue. I don't know why, but they just seem to, they want to pick on them for some reason. And
so what you were saying, the phosphorus, the levels were high, but they're not sure where it's coming from.
That's right. MDE took samples, everybody, and they said it could be wildlife, it could be anything. I mean, it could be normal farming practices. It could be just the way things are. I mean, but I don't know. The whole thing is, it's mind-boggling. It really is. You don't know what to do. I mean, you ask, and everybody says you're fine, and the next thing you know, you got a lawsuit coming against you. So I don't know. It's just, it's unbelievable it's gone as far as it has. And nobody from their side ever talked to me until I had my deposition. If they cared about what they say they care about, they'd have come and talked like we're sitting down talking now.
You're talking about nobody from the water
treatment. That's right. I mean, instead of sneaking around and doing that, anytime you go sneaking around to do something, in my opinion, that should turn off a light bulb and say, hey, you're doing something wrong.
So nobody ever came to your farm, knocked on your door, attempted to come in and sit down?
To come and sit down, never a phone call, a letter, nothing. Until I got notice. And the only way I got notice of a letter of intent to be of a pending lawsuit was through, I had newspaper reporters calling me. That's how I found out about this. I never had anything in writing until about 2 weeks later.
You're still raising chickens for Purdue.
I grew 40 chickens. That's what I was growing before, and I've still been growing, same thing. Matter of fact, I got a new flock in just today, right before I came here. So.
And how deep in debt are you now? Legal bills.
An exact figure I don't know, but last time I looked, it was over $100,000. I can't just go write a check for that. It's not there. And it's, the bills are phenomenal. The lawyers are great. They're not pushing me. Knock on wood yet, but you know they will eventually. But it's just, and it's not even going to trial yet. I mean, we're just in the process that, well, like Lee said, the only one making money is the lawyers and all this. We're not, if I can get out of it by saving the farm and my house, I'll be lucky. I really will. That's all you can do to make ends meet farming to begin with. I mean, we were doing okay. We were paying our bills. But we weren't setting the world on fire. I mean, that's all you ask to do. You make enough farming to pay your bills, you're happy. I mean, that's really, you want to make a little bit of money, but you just want to make enough money to pay your bills and raise your family. That's all you want to do. All this has done really has drawn a bigger wedge in between environmentalist and agriculture. It's a bad when you hear the word environmentalist. Just me, you're just, it turns you off. It shouldn't do that, because nobody's out here trying to do anything wrong. Farmers, what's the bumper sticker? They're the first environmentalists. You're putting on the land what you need to grow your crop. And if you do anything wrong with it, all you're doing is hurting yourself, because you won't grow the crop. You're putting on what you need to grow what you have, and that's it. You're trying to do what you have to do. And all this has done is just, it's drawn a wedge between agriculture and the environmental. It leaves a bad taste in your mouth. I guess that's the best way I know how to put it.
You're listening to Sound Bites on Delmarva, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Sound Bites on Delmarva. I'm your host, Mark Steiner. We're taking a look at different perspectives on the Purdue-Hudson poultry waste lawsuit today. And up next, we have a conversation with representatives from the Purdue Poultry Company. Our guests are Purdue spokesperson Julie DeYoung and Steve Schwalb, Vice President of Environmental Sustainability for Purdue. I asked them who's responsible for the pollution from one of their contractors' farms, such as the Hudson's.
We contract with independent family farms, and what goes on their farm is their responsibility. We provide, you know, services and support to them relating to the poultry aspect of their operation. Purdue is the only company offering things like Purdue AgriRecycle and the Clean Waters Environmental Initiative. I think we are the company that is doing the most to help farmers, you know, be responsible for the poultry litter that is a byproduct, you know, of their operation. So, you know, I think it's the lawyers will have to figure out, I guess, where the legal liability lies. But, you know, it is their farm, and they operate it, and we provide support to them as it relates to the specific contract for raising chickens.
And again, just to add to that, it is their farm. And so, like many farmers, they have more than chickens. Alan has, what, 45 head of cattle? So, you know, I mean, our responsibility is in that production area for those chickens, and as Bruce says and Mike said, for the health, welfare, and environmental piece of how we can help the grower with those chickens. But how they run their business, they're independent folks. And so, you know, they have other things. They have cows. Someone may have pigs. They got sheep. You know, that's their business. They have vegetables, what they fertilize with. That's their business. And how they manage a nutrient management plan on their crops is their business. But that poultry lid is inside that house, and those birds are inside that house, and that's what we try to help them understand how best to manage.
The Save Our Family Farm website, is it a Purdue site?
Purdue underwrote development of the site to facilitate fundraising for the Hudson's Legal Defense Fund. So, yeah, we've been very upfront about our support for SafeFarmFamilies.org. Our logo's on the homepage. We were in the headline of the news release that announced the creation of SafeFarmFamilies.org. So I think we've been very transparent about that. You know, and the fundraising activities for the Hudson started, you know, gosh, over a year ago with the Wicomico County Young Farmers and Ranchers. And as, you know, the Hudson's legal bills continued to mount and pressure, you know, I think began to grow for them to settle for financial reasons, it became evident that they needed more support. So Purdue did step in, and along with Maryland Farm Bureau, to help raise awareness of the situations for the Hudson's and to help facilitate fundraising for the Legal Defense Fund.
Why didn't Purdue just pay the legal bills?
They're an independent family farm. They have separate legal counsel, and you know it's appropriate for them to, I think, pay for their own counsel to maintain that independence. So certainly, you know, I would say that we are probably shouldering the burden of that, of the legal defense. We're co-defendants. We are actively involved, you know, in the lawsuit. And I think to the extent possible, our legal team is probably, you know, taking a little bit more of the burden than theirs to help support them. But they need to have their own counsel. And to control that, they need to pay for it. So it just seems appropriate for us not to do that for them.
The folks last night were, some people were arguing that the site itself, I meant to bring the sheet in so I could ask you the questions, is full of misinformation. I think the one thing was about the Ocean City biosolids and the MDE saying there's no way that amount of nutrients could have come from that. It had to come from something else, and that made it look as if they were saying that that these were just biosolids, and that was the whole problem.
You know, the facts remain that the Water Keepers Alliance announced their intent to sue without ever talking to the Hudson's. They sued over a pile they thought was poultry litter that was subsequently found to be biosolids. The situation was resolved with MDE, yet the lawsuit continues. I think that's all pretty accurate and factual, and hence this Hudson's in the situation of, over $200,000 in legal bills so far with the meter still running, and in a position where they're going to potentially lose their fourth generation family farm, a farm that I think has been characterized as a factory farm. And if a 2-chicken house, 45-cow, 200-acre farm is a factory farm, then there's a lot of farms in the U.S. that are at risk for this type of lawsuit.
The argument then is that when they filed what they filed, that both Purdue and the Hudsons had 72 days to respond and talk to them and have a discussion, but nobody did. And that's why the lawsuit went forward, that they did have ample time to sit and talk, but chose not to.
Again, the lawyers probably need to speak to this, but my understanding is that because MDE had addressed the situation, it was taken care of, I think they thought it was taken care of.
There was nothing to talk about.
There was nothing to talk about.
Wasn't poultry litter, and MDE told the Hudsons what to do with it. They did that, and that was it. So, I think it happened because the water keepers thought it was poultry litter. And really, unfortunately, if someone had just gone to the Hudsons, truly if they cared about the bay and there's a potential for pollution from a pile that they thought was litter, all they really had to do was what Kristen Hudson says, come and bang on our door and say, what is that? Are you sure you want to have that there? Look where it is. And this could have been resolved. But, they didn't. And so it makes you wonder.
The folks at Food and Water Watch and others say, the other attorneys, said that they did give Purdue notice that Purdue did not respond at all. They're saying that there was a 60-day notice letter and never heard from Purdue at all, which is why the lawsuit went ahead, there was never even a response. So if there's no response, that's why the lawsuit took place, and they, from both the Hudson side and Purdue side.
What I can tell you is our understanding that Maryland Department of Environment was addressing the complaint, and it was resolved to the satisfaction of the Department of Environment. So I think the assumption was that it had been responded to and addressed. Now, as to whether there was an official response back to the water keepers on their notice of intent to sue, I'd have to go back to the attorneys on that as to, if there was or was not and why they didn't. But, I think it was in all the papers, and it was seen very public, that the Department of Environment was looking into it and doing testing and made their resolution. So my understanding was that they felt they were certainly aware of that and that they knew the situation had been resolved. But, as to if they're saying that there was no official response, I'd have to ask the attorneys about that.
We did speak with Purdue spokesman Julie DeYoung again after she consulted Purdue's attorneys.
The purpose of the notice of intent is to identify an alleged problem and resolve the identified issues, thus avoiding the need for a lawsuit. Because the pile described in the notice was not poultry litter, and the Maryland Department of Environment investigated and the issues around the biosolid pile were resolved, there was no need to respond.
One of the things that the plaintiff side said was that they had to do also with the level of contaminants inside the water surrounding the farm.
Well, again, MDE received a copy of the notice, investigated the situation, that was described in the notice and responded to it. So, I guess I would go back to MDE if they didn't address that aspect of it.
That was Purdue spokesperson Julie DeYoung and Stephen Schwalb, Vice President of Environmental Sustainability for Purdue, as we continue our look at the Purdue-Hudson poultry waste lawsuit here on Soundbites on Delmarva. We're about to talk with Kathy Phillips, the Assateague Coast Keeper, who was one of the primary people who took this lawsuit out against Purdue that has made so much headline in our state. Kathy, good to talk to you once again.
Good morning, Mark.
Let's begin by just talking about what this lawsuit means, especially why you undertook it in the first place.
We're responding to a pollution problem with this lawsuit. The Pocomoke River is already impacted for nutrients and bacteria, and the pollutants that are coming off of this CAFO are adding to those impacts. And I'm here to speak on behalf of the river, so the water. It doesn't have a voice. Its only voice is through a waterkeeper. And We want to protect the river for fishing industries, for the people who like to recreate on that river. I love that river. I love paddling on that river. I don't want to see anything happen. I want to protect it. And that's the basic reason for this lawsuit. This particular CAFO, we found polluted discharges coming off of it into waters that impact the river, and these waters belong to everybody, and I want to see these waters protected for everybody.
Some farmers, others, have said that this is a lawsuit they feel like is going after farmers one at a time. It's really about going after farmers.
Well, you know, I haven't filed any other lawsuits. I don't know of anybody else who's filed any other lawsuits. It's one lawsuit, and you know, there has been a lot of publicity about that, a lot of fear-mongering, a lot of rhetoric that has been put out from everybody except me and Aspeak Coastal Trust. You know, we haven't said that. That's what everybody else is saying. And it's out there to change the message. But the reality is, this is a pollution problem. This is a source that we discovered pollution coming from. And filing a Clean Water Act lawsuit is one of the tools in the toolbox for dealing with pollution issues and stopping the pollution.
The question on how this lawsuit is being filed, Purdue is one of the people that you filed against.
Purdue Farms, Inc.
Right.
is an entity that we have filed the lawsuit against.
So talk about that a bit, about what Purdue has to do with this. I mean, the lawsuit has been, at least for what we hear in most of the press and what people are saying about it in the state legislature, is about going after a family farmer.
Yeah, you know, let's be clear what we have going on here. This is a confined animal feeding operation. This is a CAFO. This is where you have animals in highly concentrated numbers that are grown in a tight space, and you get concentrated levels of manure off of this. On the Hudson facility, they're growing over 600,000 chickens a year in two enclosed poultry houses. And they're growing these chickens. Well, the chickens belong to Purdue, and the Hudsons are basically providing a house for these chickens to be grown in. There's a lot of manure that accumulates inside these houses. The manure comes from the chickens. The chickens belong to Purdue. When we realized that there was a problem and that there were polluted discharges coming off of this place, the Hudsons own the land. Purdue owns the chickens. The chickens are the cause of the manure. They both end up in this lawsuit.
Again, Kathy, talk a bit about why you, almost kind of alone out there, maybe some support, would take on a corporation as large as Purdue.
I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. But look, industrial agriculture is a huge industry on the Eastern Shore, and this is a good thing and a bad thing. It's a bad thing when it pollutes. In this particular case, this particular facility, growing operation that belongs to Purdue, you've got a pollution problem. You've got to go after the whole problem. And I keep coming back to the point that you've got chickens that belong to Purdue. You have chickens that are producing the manure. You have a farmer who has contracted with Purdue to build a couple of houses and basically babysit these chickens. Every other part of that operation is controlled by Purdue. Every aspect of growing those chickens, the chickens themselves belong to Purdue. The feed belongs to Purdue. Everything that goes on inside those houses is controlled and operated by Purdue. I know I heard one of our county commissioners here in Worcester County recently referred to how this is a small business, and you know, small businessmen have to be protected. And you know, this business that's going on there is not Alan Hudson's business. He does not make the business decisions. You know, this is a business owned by Purdue.
Some of the people have argued at least the Hudsons have argued that, look, we don't even know where this stuff is coming from. He did admit in one of the pieces we talked about that the levels of phosphorus were high in the water next to his farm. But two things were also said were that MDE and others are saying we don't know where that's coming from. It could be chickens. It could be because of a rainstorm and his 45 brood cows that he has on his land. It could be any number of things. How do you all respond to that?
Both sides have submitted all of their evidence and their explanations, and this is in a federal court, and that's why it's in a federal court, for a federal judge to review everything and make a decision. I mean, it's not up to the court of public opinion to make a decision about this. Quite frankly, I don't think MDE did a thorough enough job of inspecting this farm. I think that there has been a problem, an ongoing problem. We've already established that there have been ongoing violations. Even when MDE came in and asked the Hudsons to take certain precautions, the discharges, and let's be clear here, you know, these polluted discharges have been way in excess of EPA standards for healthy water. And it's phosphorus, it's nitrogen, it's also E. coli, it's fecal coliform. And again, I think that if people would allow this to work its way through the legal system, and if people would take the time to go to the University of Maryland Law School's website and look at the actual court documents, and these are documents that have been presented by both Purdue, both and the Hudsons, and our side. So it's all laid out there. If they would use that as a resource for their information instead of what they're getting through SaveFarmFamilies.org and through the political rhetoric, the political dialogue that's going on right now, I think we'd have a better educated public out there.
What do you say about how this the lawsuit's being done in terms of how it's being paid for? People are saying that this is all being paid for by our taxpayer dollars taking on both the produce company and the farmer.
Well, again, it all depends on where you get your news from. If you are listening to the political rhetoric that is being, you know, it's fascinating to me to see how this lawsuit has spun off into so many different directions and been used by different people and different entities to meet their agendas. You know, it's like this lawsuit isn't even about the river anymore. It isn't about the pollution that is coming off of this one particular CAFO. It's now all about different people's political agendas being spun. Again, go to the University of Maryland Law School's website. Look for their devoted web pages that they have regarding this lawsuit. You can see right there how Maryland taxpayer money is used within the law school and the law clinics. Not one dime of money that comes from the state of Maryland to the law school is used for litigation. And I'm not just talking about this case either. They don't use the money that comes from the state of Maryland to litigate anything. And you know, that law school has a number of law clinics. It's not just the environmental law clinic, and they take on cases all the time. They litigate all the time, and taxpayer money is not used for that. You know, from our end, we have been paying for our end of this lawsuit through donations that have come from people who live in Maryland, from foundations that are in the state of Maryland. A good percentage of the funding for this lawsuit is coming from Maryland citizens who are concerned about the health of the Chesapeake Bay, who in this watershed are concerned about water quality in the Pocomoc River and other waterways over here on our part of the Lower Eastern Shore. And they're supporting this lawsuit because they want to see this issue addressed. And they want to see this pollution stop. So, and they want to see all parties that are responsible for the pollution to be held accountable and be held responsible for the pollution that's going on.
So what you're saying here, really, I think I haven't heard to me many times before, is that the lawsuit, from your perspective, from your side of the aisle, is being paid for by donations from people who care about the environment.
Exactly, and who care about the Chesapeake Bay, who care about the Pocomoke River, and it's from people who also realize Purdue needs to be responsible for the waste stream that their chickens create. You know, Purdue has an interesting arrangement here in the state of Maryland and probably other states where they're growing chickens. But here in Maryland and here on the Eastern Shore, they control every aspect of this chicken's life, but somehow at the point where the chicken defecates, the results of that no longer is Purdue's problem. It's not fair that industrial corporations can take all the profits but push the expense of cleaning up their waste stream out on to us in the public, out on to the farmers that are growing their chicken, and out onto the taxpayer. You know, why aren't they paying their fair share for helping to do something about the waste stream that is created by the product that they own and that they're producing?
This discharge was found in the waterway. Is there any sense or idea from your perspective or anybody else's whether this is common or is this an anomaly?
This is the only one where I have actually sampled the adjacent waterway and established that there were high levels of fecal pollution and nutrient pollution coming off of the CAFO. It's possible that it's going on in other areas. You know, it really comes down to how that particular CAFO is managed. Another interesting aspect of all of this here in the state of Maryland is really the only way to find out is just to go. You know, if there is a facility that where maybe you see piles of manure being stored outside, or maybe you're seeing something else that just isn't right, that is, you know, connecting some sort of discharge to a waterway. So you go and you sample the waterways and see if there's a problem, which is what we did in this case. And we notified the Hudsons and we notified Purdue that, you know, hey, we see a problem here. You know, will you get in touch with us? We want to make you aware of this problem, and we want to fix this problem. We notified them about that. We went to them and gave them that information. And, you know, they ignored us. And to this day, I do not understand why anyone would want to ignore us and ignore the problem and allow it to go to court. But that's the way it went. I mean, they could have responded to us, and we could have saved a lot of people on all sides, a lot of money, and a small fraction of what has gone into this now probably could have been used to fix the problem on that particular CAFO. So are there others? There probably are. And if we find another one, we're going to do the same process again. We're going to notify them. We're going to tell them that we found a problem, and we're going to attempt to get it fixed. You know, this isn't about every single farm. This isn't about every single poultry operation here on the Eastern Shore. But when there is a problem with one of these CAFOs, then there's going to be a reaction, because if it takes one CAFO at a time to clean up the mess here on the Eastern Shore and hold Purdue, Tyson, Mount Air, the other integrators responsible for their waste stream, and hold individual farmers who are not doing what they're supposed to do, who are taking advantage of the system, then there is going to be a reaction. This is just one way of trying to clean up the problem that we have here on the Eastern Shore. If you look at the Save Farm Families website, you will see that there are a lot of national industrial agricultural organizations putting money into SaveFarmFamilies.org. There's so many of these big ag donations going into this, because it's not about protecting the Hudson. It's about protecting their industrial model. For Assateague Coastkeeper and for Assateague Coastal Trust, this has been a local effort solely to protect the Pocomoke River. We have been funded by Maryland donations.
We haven't put any rhetoric out there. We don't have any political agendas. We just want clean, healthy water, healthy communities, and a healthy water-based economy. And that's it. That's why we are in this lawsuit.
That was Assateague Coast Keeper Kathy Phillips. And that's all we have time for today. And thanks for tuning in to Soundbites on Delmarva. And we hope we'll tune in again next week. Soundbites on Delmarva is a production of the Center for Emerging Media, made possible in part by a grant from the Town Creek Foundation. Our producers are Justin Levy and Christina Arison. We're engineered at Delmarva Public Radio by Christopher Rank. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. For complete podcasts of our past episodes and information on how to contact us with your feedback and ideas for upcoming shows, please go to our website, www.ondelmarva.org. And for Public Radio Delmarva, I'm your host, Mark Steiner. Take care.